You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
And I'm Kat.
JJ's not here, but Kat is, and she's here with all her post-wedding bliss. Kat, do you feel any different now that you're officially married to JJ?
Oh, you know, so different. No, that's sarcasm. I mean, yes, I do feel different, and it's wonderful. But also, things are still, you know, the same, because we were in a really nice place of commitment before. And but it was a beautiful wedding, all of our friends and family there to celebrate and witness, and feels great. And now we're back. I'm back.
It was a really nice wedding. It was great to see everyone. You both looked beautiful, and just an awesome, great time. And we're excited to have you back. I'm sure JJ will be back soon. On this episode, we have Tamara. Tamara, thank you so much for reaching out to Real Hauntings.
Oh, you're welcome.
And how
Glad
did you
to be
find?
Here.
Yeah, absolutely. And how did you find the podcast?
Well, my sister, she actually told me about your podcast because of some of the paranormal experiences that I was having, and she thought I would be interested in listening to it. And so I've been listening to it for about a year, and I really love it. It's great.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I thought you were going to be like, I just started last week, but a whole year. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think since like February.
Okay.
So it's great. I love it.
And Kat and I have no idea what it's like for family members to recommend our podcast. So it's good to hear that other people's family members are.
True.
Well, you know, as a listener of the podcast, we love to find out where people fall in what we call the believometer. Zero meaning they don't believe in ghosts, and 10 ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
I would say definitely like a 9, maybe 10. I mean, I do believe in ghosts and like spirits and entities, but I also believe that sometimes what someone might think is a ghost isn't really anything. It could just be like a trick of the mind, like a shadow manifesting on the wall that looks like, you know, scary or something, or like a really vivid dream, or like even sleep paralysis. But yeah. I do definitely believe in the paranormal and in like ghosts or entities or things like that.
Yeah. So you believe, but there's always room for error because, of course, we are humans and shit
right.
happens, as I have found. Sometimes you think you hear something and it's, you know, I know several times I have thought I've heard bumps in the night in our new house. And it's just that I'm not familiar with the house yet. And then I realize that it's just a creaky floor, or, you know, the way the door swings or what have you.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I know you emailed in really a nice kind of spread of supernatural stories that have taken place in homes and the home you live in. Can you kind of walk us through the beginning of that and where you really started to be impacted by the supernatural?
Sure. I would say back in like 2008. I mean, before that, like I would have like flashes of like, you know, did I just see something like out of the corner of my eye, or like hearing like my name called out, like if I'm falling asleep or if I'm asleep, like hearing someone whisper in my ear and waking up. Like I've had those sorts of experiences, but things really started in like 2008. And so I'll just give you a little bit of background. We lived in a really old farmhouse that was built in like 1785, 1786, around that time. And beautiful farmhouse, but things just never really felt right. Like it was just kind of off, a little weird. Like my dog would always sit at the bottom of the stairs and like look up the stairs and kind of just growl a little bit. And the hackles like up on the back of his neck would kind of go up, and just kind of eerie feeling. And then I also got pretty sick when I was living there. Like I lost like about 15 or 20 pounds and I was just feeling really sick, and the doctors didn't really know what was going on. So was it attributed to the house? I don't know, possibly. So there was one instance in when we were living in that house that really stands out. It was probably, I don't know, mid-morning, taking a shower, washing my hair, washing my face. My eyes were closed, you know, like washing my hair, my eyes were closed. I opened my eyes, and standing right on the other side of the shower door was my husband, or what I thought was my husband. All I could see was his head. The shower door was pretty tall. My husband's tall. He's like 6'7". So I could just see his head standing on the other side of the shower door. And he had a huge, really evil, sinister looking grin on his face. And his eyes were really bugged out wide. And it was like, and I was like, oh my God, you scared me. Like I was totally startled. I had no idea he was there. And I was like, I'm getting out in just a second. Like I just have to rinse off my face. So I just like rinsed my face, maybe 2 to 3 seconds. He was gone. Wasn't there at all. I was like, that's really weird. So I get out of the shower, put a towel on, was walking around the downstairs calling out, and he wasn't anywhere downstairs. And this is a pretty big farmhouse. Called out, it's like, I don't know where he is, went to the bottom of the stairs, called out, and he called down. He said, yeah, I'm up here. He had just barely gotten out of the shower in the upstairs bathroom. So he was not downstairs at all while I was in the shower. He was upstairs. I have no idea what that was. I like to this day, I can't wrap my mind around it at all. What was really disturbing was the look on this entity's face. Like the eyes were huge and just this huge smile, which was like plastered on his face.
Yeah.
Very unsettling.
It makes me think of all those viral ads for that smile horror movie that
That's
just
what
came
I was
out
gonna
recently.
Say.
What's
right.
it like?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't movie. Either yet. Yeah. You What's it like that. Being married to somebody who's 6'7"? That sounds pretty wild.
Yeah, he's pretty tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is he a believer in the supernatural at all? Or
he is, yes. It kind of freaks him out a bit.
Yeah.
So he doesn't like to watch scary movies or anything like that, you know. But he fully believes what's been happening and what I have been experiencing. Like he really believes that, and he believes that there's definitely something going on and that I've been experiencing some things.
Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to go through more experiences you've had, but I'm just curious, when you've had these experiences, do you get a presence of good or evil from these entities that are visiting you, or not really?
The entity while I was in the shower seemed very evil. Like when I saw the face, and I thought it was my husband. I mean, it looked just like him. Hmm. And I was like, why are you standing there with this huge smile on your face, not talking to me, like just staring? And that just felt really not right. That just felt kind of evil to me, for sure.
What is it about a big, happy face that is scarier than like a frowny face or a sad face or a normal face? Do you know what I mean? It's so terrifying. It's just like instability,
Yeah, it, I don't know. It was freaky for sure. Yeah. It
makes me think of like John Wayne Gacy as his clown face, you know.
Oh my God. Oh,
something
yes.
unnatural about mm-hmm. about that. Well, so you moved, and did you think maybe when you moved all of this would stop? Maybe it was just connected to that farmhouse? Did you have any intuition to that?
I thought that maybe it was all just connected to the farmhouse. You know, because something, a house that's built in 1785, you know, there's probably something there, you know, probably someone died there, something was attached there. So I thought it was just the farmhouse. But when we moved and things started happening again, I just, you know, I didn't really know what to think. I still don't know what to think about what I've experienced.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. So why don't you tell us about the next house you all went into?
Okay. So the next house that we moved into, built in 1967, I think, or 1968, things were pretty quiet in the house. But one thing I did notice is that when I started living at the farmhouse, I started consistently waking up between like 3 and 3:30, like during the middle of the night, all the time. And it continues living here. So I don't know if that is something that started at the farmhouse or, but that's when I've been having a lot of the paranormal experiences. So some construction started at our house in like 2018, 2019. And after the construction started, I remember waking up in the middle of the night. It was like around 3 in the morning, and standing right by the bed was a very tall, like ghost or spirit or something. And I remember waking up and, you know, and I saw it there, and it was wearing a really wide brim hat. And I was pretty like, oh my God, what is that? And I woke up my husband, and when he woke up, it just disappeared. I remember I came from work one day, and on my closet door, a gold cross necklace was hanging on the door. Right. And I don't have a cross necklace and I don't wear gold. So I was like, this is not mine. So I talked to the foreman, and he said that he found it in the wall.
Oh,
they
wow.
were doing the construction. So he said it was between the window frame and the wall. And he thought it was mine. And I was like, no, it's not mine. And I don't know how my necklace would get caught in the wall, you know?
Almost like, do you think someone put it there because they were experiencing similar things and maybe they thought it was protection?
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. And I was like, okay, please put it back in the wall exactly where you found it. I don't want any like bad juju, you know, at all.
Sure.
Just put it back. And
or
so
like it's getting worse or anything
right,
like that.
Right. Right. So we put it back and things were okay. Got through the rest of the construction.
Well, I want to go back to the spirit by the bed. So you've been listening to our podcast. I'm sure you've heard and obviously you could just probably look online as well, but you've heard episodes where we've talked about the Shadow Man and the Hat Man. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that presence was something along the lines of what other people have experienced with the Hat Man?
Yeah, yeah, it very well could be. I remember seeing something too when I was much younger, which seemed like the Hat Man. And I, listening to your podcast, when I heard about the Hat Man, I'm like, oh my God, that's what I saw too. When I was like probably 10 years old in the corner of my bedroom in the middle of the day, there was this tall figure man dressed in black with a big black hat. And he was like walking towards me. And I screamed, and my mom came running into the room and the thing disappeared.
Well, they're drawn to you, these entities.
Yeah.
Any reason, or do you have any like explanations in your head or
no
related to any family members that have the same kind of calling from spirits or anything like that?
I mean, I remember my grandmother telling me that there were some people in our in my family on my father's side who were like spiritualists, like they would do like seances and try to communicate with the dead. Mm-hmm. And I think there was someone in our family on my father's side as well who was a psychic or mm-hmm. had some psychic abilities. And my father thought that he used to see spirits in his house growing up in the attic. But okay, so maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's hereditary. And I just want to say Kat's being very brave tonight. I think that's the darkest room she's ever recorded in. Usually she has it very well lit so where nothing can jump up and get her.
I just scared myself because that made me laugh and I did a creepy grin. And then I scared myself with a creepy grin. Oh, Lordy.
It's good to have Kat back.
But I wanted to ask, I've gotten really into like reading about people's reincarnation stories. I don't know where I stand with it necessarily, but I do feel closer to like soul regeneration and that kind of stuff. I've been reading more stories about that. They're fascinating to the point where it's like, you know, if you don't recognize it as a kid who you were in a past life, you probably never will, unless you're really practicing that kind of meditation. It's super woo-woo to think about it this way. But now it makes me feel like all these people who have like spirits drawn to them, or, you know, any other skill in the world, maybe it was because that's what you did in another life or something like that. It's kind of weird to think about.
Yeah, definitely.
So you had these events take place and it didn't stop there. So these things kept going on. Yeah. So what kind of happened next?
So last February, things really started becoming very active. I remember waking up in the middle of the night, right around 3 a.m. and directly above me were these like electric lights, like neon tubing, and like a green electric mist. And they were kind of like forming right above me and just getting bigger and bigger. And it looked just like electricity in a mist. I don't really know how else to describe it, but it was green and like a translucent gray color, but very, very like electric looking. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I woke my husband up. And when he woke up, of course, it started disappearing. So, and it felt very evil to me. Whether it was or not, I don't know, but it could have just been that I was so freaked out that it felt evil to me.
Yeah. That reminds me of the doppelganger episode we had a while back. She, the guest of that episode, was from a very haunted home, I believe, or had a very haunted home in her family. And they had a apparition that would appear in mist form. And I had not heard of that until that episode. And so it's interesting that you may have experienced, you know, something very similar.
I don't know what it was, you know, but I can still picture exactly what it looked like. Mm-hmm. You know, I can still see it.
It's an interesting thing. Every time something happens, it disappears right when your husband wakes up.
It does.
It's like all these spirits are gaslighting you a little bit.
And at like 3 a.m, I'm like, let me sleep.
Yeah. Why you know? That time?
Kat, did you mean to use gaslighting as a pun there with it being a ghastly spirit that was a colored light?
Oh, for sure. I totally did that on purpose. My humor skills are very, very funny. That's the word, funny.
Yeah. So you had, again, you had something take place at 3 a.m. Again, your husband wakes up and it disappears. I know that must have been pretty frustrating for you, but it seems like things, not only did they continue to happen, but they got more intense and physical from there.
They did. And some of these next things I'm about to say really, really terrified me. Excuse me, were really terrifying for me. May of 2021, I was asleep and my right hand was kind of like up out of the covers and my hand was like this. And I felt a hand grab my hand and interlace its fingers between my fingers. And I woke up. And then I heard this presence whisper in my left ear something which sounded like a very, very old, like ancient language. I don't know why I thought it was that, but it was. It was in a foreign language. I had no idea what it was saying. And I said, "What?" And it whispered it again. And then the hand pressed my hand down into the bed and was holding my hand down. And I flung my left arm over and woke my husband up. And when I did that, I heard three very loud scratches coming, sounded like was coming from the wall. And I was terrified, like absolutely terrified. And my husband woke up and I turned the light on, I turned the light on and there was nothing there, nothing there. And I did not fall back asleep for, I don't know, probably the rest of the night. And the next morning I called my sister and told her about it. And she was pretty freaked out. And she reached out to a friend of hers who is a psychic medium. And this woman told her, it sounds to her, the psychic, she thought it sounded like a demon. And she said, you know, have your sister contact a priest, have the priest come and bless the home. And the woman, if I'm remembering correctly, she said she thought it, that he could have been speaking in the language of demons, which I guess is like Enochian, not really familiar with it, but
I'm nodding my head like I know. I don't. I'm over here like, oh, Enochian.
Right.
Absolutely understand.
I like Noki the food, but that's about as far as
right.
I know who Loki is.
But like the next day at work, someone called for me and left a message on the voicemail. Well, it wasn't for me, but it was for the place where I work. And he spoke in a very, he had a very thick accent and his name was Enoch.
No.
Yes. And I was like, what the hell is happening?
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box. When you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
That was
entirely freaked out. Yep, that was the next day.
Oh my God.
What did he want?
Well, he wanted a fence built because I work for my husband's company, a fencing company, and he wanted a fence built. That was like, oh my God, why is your name Enoch? So coincidence, I don't know, maybe, but it was just really freaky.
I picture your husband being like Paul Bunyan and just knocking the fence post in one after another, now that I know he's 6'7". So, wow, that's really, really bizarre and spooky. Did you get the home blessed, or what did you guys decide to do?
Yes, I did call the priest. He was away on vacation for like 2 weeks, so he wasn't calling me back. And in the meantime, I was having like more experiences. Like the next night, I woke up exactly at 3:22, and I was smelling something burning, and I heard a growl and very choppy whispers. And I was like, what the hell is happening? Turn the light on. Like, woke my husband up, you know, did not fall back asleep. And then again in June, something touched my shoulder in the middle of the night and whispered that same foreign language into my ear. And this was in the morning, you know, like 3 a.m. So the priest was on vacation. I met with a woman who I know, she's like an intuitive healer and kind of like a psychic in training, I guess you could call it, like a psychic medium in training. And I told her what was happening, and she said, well, that's, you know, too much for me. I'm going to refer you to a local psychic medium.
She's like, no, I'm good.
Right.
Thanks.
The priest did come over and he did bless the house. Things really quieted down after that. And I did meet with the psychic medium, and she didn't necessarily say that it was, you know, she didn't really know what it was, but she didn't necessarily think that it was like a demon at all. She thought it was probably like some sort of dark energy. And she said that it was hiding from the priest when he came to bless it. She's like, he is still there, but he was hiding from the priest. So she gave me like a list of things to do. And I did some of them. Like, we kind of like reclaimed the house and said, this is our house. You're not welcome here. Please leave. You know, and the priest, he did all that kind of stuff too. Bless the home, sprayed holy water, all that.
A Catholic priest?
Catholic priest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't even know this at the time. This is what he does. He goes into houses all the time around New Hampshire, around New England, and like casts out evil whatever out of homes.
Wow.
Like, and I had no idea that this was what he does all the time.
I would love to interview somebody that does that, but they're not very giving with those interviews from the church with people who, I guess, remove demons from homes.
Yeah. Some might be open. I bet we can find someone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this priest might be open. Like, he was telling us some stories, and it was unbelievable. Some of the things that he shared with us, like what he has experienced.
Wow. So did you feel any big shift after the home was blessed?
Yes, definitely. And after the psychic medium I met with, she did like her own mental cleansing from afar, like of the house. And so after that, things felt very much lighter. Like, during that time before the priest came and before I met with the psychic medium, the house was just felt very, very dark. And I was really afraid to come home to the house after work. Like, it was just terrifying to me. But after that, things got better for sure.
And then you guys went and started more construction.
Yes. So last October, we started more construction and things kicked up again. And I remember like waking up one night at the end of October of last year, and standing right in the doorway of the bedroom was again a very tall shadow figure. And I just said out loud, he is standing right there, right in the doorway. My husband woke up. the shadow figure walked down the hallway. And as he walked down the hallway, I could hear the plastic sheeting, which was hanging in the hallway, move and shift as he walked by.
Oh. Now, did your husband hear it as well?
He heard the plastic sheeting move, okay. Yes, but he didn't see the figure.
Okay. About time he yeah. hears it something.
Yes. Yeah, and then the next night I woke up and saw something, a man, and he looked like he was maybe from the late 1800s, maybe by how he looked, you know, his attire, and his hair was parted down the middle and it looked kind of all pomaded back, and he had like a mustache and stuff, and he looked like the negative of a photograph.
Hmm.
And so that was just weird. Like, I don't know who he was or why yeah. I saw that or why he was there. And I had other things happen. Like, I would hear loud crashes and music playing. It sounded like I would hear someone walking around our living room and whistling. And this was all like between 3 and 3:30.
That's super creepy too. Like, nobody uh-huh. needs Kill Bill walking around their house, you know, whistling in the middle of the night.
Have you ever experienced like weird sleeping things, like dreaming or sleep paralysis or anything like that?
Well, yeah, very vivid dreams. And I've experienced sleep paralysis before, but these instances that I'm sharing, I was, you know, able to move and I was awake.
Yeah.
So it didn't feel the same as sleep paralysis. Like sleep paralysis, like you really can't move.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I definitely have experienced sleep paralysis, and that is quite terrifying too.
Yeah. So based on like the people we've talked to that are mediums and psychics and all these wonderful people that have come on the podcast, it makes me feel like you are at a very calm state, almost like a meditative state when you're asleep at these times, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., possibly in a deep sleep. And maybe you really are just like a halfway a spirit world. Yeah, maybe you're a psychic or a medium, or you're something, because that's a lot of experiences. And
yeah.
Oh, you know, it's just what it is.
Well, I mean, when it first really started happening, I was terrified, but I'm not quite as scared anymore as I was. And I did go back to see the psychic medium, the woman who lives here locally. Her name is Kim. And I went back to see her, and she told me, you know, she said, you're an empath and the intuitive healer. She told me that too. And she said, and you are, you know, really highly intuitive. And she said, and you, from what you're saying and things you're telling me, you know, about like dreams that come true and like things that I just know are going to happen and then they happen. She said, it really sounds like you have some psychic ability that's just, you're just kind of starting to develop. So I'm going to be meeting with her again tomorrow, actually. So she's going to kind of work with me on this and try to help me understand what's been happening. But there's another incident, if I can share that with you, that happened.
Yeah, I think this is maybe the scariest of them all.
Yes.
Should I turn my lights on in the room?
It's okay.
I'm not joking. I'm serious.
So this was just about a year ago. My husband woke up. It was exactly 3 a.m. He got up, went out of the bed, and I was awake. And following him, he was walking to the bathroom, and directly behind him was some sort of entity that was as tall as he was. And it was, this entity was like glowing, like white, luminescent, golden glowing. And it was following him directly right behind him to the bathroom. When he got to the bathroom, the entity just kind of melted into the wall. When my husband came out, the entity followed him. My husband got back into bed. The entity just kind of disappeared. I saw it so clearly, just as tall as my husband, and he was glowing, like luminescent. And I didn't tell my husband what I saw because I didn't want to freak him out, because he is pretty scared of, you know, ghosts and stuff. Even though he believes in it, it really kind of scares him. But the next morning, he told me, he said, so I woke up because someone yelled into my ear, "Amy, wake up." And he woke up and he looked at his cell phone and it was 3 a.m. And I said, oh my God, okay, well, I have to tell you this, because when you got up out of bed, there was this entity following you. And I was just like in disbelief, you know, and so was my husband, that mm-hmm. something woke him up and then this entity was following him. So.
And from there, you had something happen that makes me wonder if maybe it is some kind of demonic force. Can you tell us about someone that, or something that came with a message in the middle of the night for you?
Yes. So there was, well, a couple things. This past March, the same presence that was speaking to me in that foreign language, I woke up because I felt hands on my shoulders. And I woke up and I felt this spirit right on top of me, not touching me. It was almost like he was planking over me, like the full length of my body, like he was planking, you know, like a plank, like a, mm-hmm. like holding a push-up.
Yeah, sometimes we do work out.
And I could feel his breath on my face, and I heard him whisper that same thing in my ear, that same foreign language. And I was like, what are you doing? What is going on? And I just, you know, kind of got up and got out of bed, and the thing just went away. So that was also pretty scary. But just 2 months ago, I woke up, it was a full moon, wasn't able to sleep. And at like, I don't remember what time it was, sometime just after 3, this name came into my head, and it was Adiuni, Adioni. And it kept repeating over and over and over again, Adiuni, Adiuni, Adiuni. And I was like, what is that? Why am I hearing this being repeated? And I could see it clearly written out in my head as well, Adioni. And I got up out of bed, and it was a really full moon out, and I was just looking out in the backyard, and I was like, I think I need to go outside and take a walk out in the woods. And I was like, no. But something was really pulling me to go outside and take a walk out in the woods at night. And I was like, hell no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going out into the woods at 3 in the morning. No, got back into bed. And then the next morning,
not allowed anywhere. Sorry. Oh, I was just going to say, you're not allowed to go anywhere after midnight for now on.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. And then I Googled Adiuni in the morning, and I was able to find some things. Adi and Oni are both, in other cultures, they're like demons, ogres, trolls, things like that. In other cultures, like Adi is Sanskrit, it's like Hindu, and it's considered like a powerful demon, and Oni is a demon, ogre, troll from like in the Japanese culture. But Adi also in Sanskrit means things like the first, the most primitive, the beginning, everlasting, things like that. So I don't really know what this Adiuni is and why it came into my head in the middle of the night. I did talk to the psychic medium about that, and she had some thoughts that maybe it was like a spirit guide that wasn't, you know, demonic or anything like that, but it was like a spirit guide and that was trying to communicate with me.
That's at least one positive one that you have on your list.
Yeah, there was another positive one too. I woke up, this was, I don't know, probably like a year ago. I woke up in the middle of the night in a lot of pain. My abdomen was really hurting, like a lot of stomach pain. And I told my husband, and after I told him, I felt a hand press down on my abdomen twice, right where the pain was. And then after that, the pain went away.
I mean, that is fascinating. And it really does sound like you are a very empathetic, intuitive person, to the point where, like, the whole spirit world. I mean, you have every single type of experience that is, and it's fascinating. I'm going to be really curious what the, how your journey goes with the psychic medium. I'd also be curious about if you ever like delved into past life regression, which can be really intense, but just trying to, I don't know, go down that route and see if there's anything, maybe you were like some psychic witch or something like that, like in the 1800s or 1600s.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, I definitely am interested in exploring all of that with her and seeing, you know, what she helps me discover. She's told me things like, you know, you have a right to say, don't wake me up at 3 a.m. Right. I'm a human being. I need sleep. If you need to communicate with me, you can communicate with me during the daytime. But she said, lots of times spirits communicate with people between the hours of like 3 and 4, 3 and 3:30, because that's when I guess the veil is the thinnest and they're able to cross over and talk to people or try to communicate with people who are receptive to it. Now, I don't know why I'm receptive to it, but it's been happening and I have no, I have no explanation for it. Part of me just wants to be like, oh, it was all just, you know, it was all just my imagination. You know,
it was all a dream.
Right. I would really almost love for it to be that, but it's happened so many times that I'm like, I don't know if I could actually have imagined all of this every single time that it's happened.
There just comes a point where it happens so often, you have to try something to make it stop.
Right.
So if that means like accepting that maybe you are a medium and working towards setting boundaries with them, if it works, hey, it works. But yeah, what's the alternative? Like continuing on with these ridiculously poor humored spirits waking you up at 3 a.m., trying to make you go outside, digging up necklaces in your walls, messing up your house.
Oh yeah,
that's a real robust supernatural bundle of events that you kind of brought us. I mean, that's like Kat was saying, you've really experienced a lot of the things that we have heard on the podcast and some things that, you know, maybe we haven't heard before. And at least it seems like you're finding a way, like Kat was saying, to, you know, kind of interpret these things and give you some peace as well. It's wild knowing that you know, it's still continuing up to like 2 months ago, because we hear so many stories where it feels like a lot of things have happened so far in the past for people. So it's really interesting to hear something that is rather present for you. And I think, you know, for Kat and I, we can see that just how you tell the story. It feels very recent. And just by the diligent notes you provided me in the email, I knew we were going to get a good storyteller on our hands. So I appreciate that. So I mean, as you move forward, do you want these things just to stop completely, or kind of what do you want out of this unique experience that you're having?
Well, I would like, if these things are going to continue, I would like for them to stop happening between 3 and 3:30 in the morning. You know, I would like to be able to sleep through the night. And if I do have some sort of abilities which opens me up to these spirits or whatever they are, I would only like the good ones to come through. You know, I don't want anything that is evil or demonic at all to try to communicate with me. And I don't know if that's, you know, the experiences that I've had, I don't know if they've been evil or not. I could have just thought that they were evil because I was so scared. So, you know, I guess that's some of the stuff I'll work with the psychic medium, just to kind of see where I'm at and where, just to, you know, have her give me some tools so that if this does continue, I can set up, like Kat said, like some boundaries.
Yeah.
Like stop communicating with me at 3 a.m.
Well, please keep us informed on your journey. I think this is really interesting. And I just hope that as this, if and as this continues for you, that it is in a way that can be more, fruitful and enjoyable for you and less scary, because that does seem pretty intense, some of those experiences that you have had. Did you have any questions for us before we get out of here? I know you've listened to the podcast for a year. Was there anything you'd like to ask Kat and I?
No, not really. I mean, I think it's a really great podcast. You know, like I said, I listened to it for about a year, and I really like how people can just share their experiences with you. And I think that's important, because having these experiences, you know, I'm just like, oh my God, like, am I crazy? You know? And so I think it's good to be able to hear that other people have had experiences similar to this, and that it's, you know, can be pretty common, you know, people do experience the paranormal. And so I thought it was important for me to call in, call into your podcast and share my experiences as well.
Well, thank you.
So, yeah. I think it's great. You guys are doing this.
Yeah, and
your podcasts are funny. I do enjoy them.
Well, thank you. I don't think we thought that this would be a therapeutic venture when we first started this, but I think that's been a really cool offshoot of the podcast, how many people have found it relatable and kind of a safe space to open up about their experiences with the supernatural. Well, yeah, that's super cool. Kat, did you have anything else you wanted to add before we wrap up?
Just, I agree. It's like a nice collection of a safe place to share stories. It's a qualitative study is what I'm calling it.
So. Absolutely.
Thank you for coming on. That was really wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
With that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Kat.
I'm Tamara.
Ooh. Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.